Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Amen. Hey, you know, it doesn't get any better than this, where we're gathered with close to 2 billion Christians around the planet celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, our preaching is in vain and we're all fools. But in fact, he did rise. And because he rose, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. So church, do me a favor, help me honor this worship team and celebrate Jesus before we jump into the message together. And one more time before you take your seats, you've joined us for our fifth service of the day, three here, two in Somerville, and we got people worshiping online, we got people worshiping in Overflow, and so I'm going to ask our Charleston room if we can just welcome our Somerville family and our Overflow family this morning. Can we just show some love? Amen. Hey, let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into God's word together. Father, we thank you for the assurance we have of eternal life that's found in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you loved us so much. You sent Jesus on a rescue mission to die for our sins. And when he was placed in the tomb, hope was lost, but because the tomb is empty, we now have hope. And so Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. I pray, God, today this world would come alive by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, change hearts, change lives in this place, as only you can. It's in your most holy and powerful name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, church, go ahead and take your seats. I wanna say thank you for choosing to worship with us here today. Whether this is your first time or whether you've been here for the last decade at Awaken Church, welcome home. We get accused sometimes of being a young church, which I like that. That's a little bit of a compliment. But I feel like today I need to let you know that I met a great grandmother who was 100 years old. So yeah, y'all should just cheer because she's 100. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get there. But I was like, you know what? I will no longer take the accusation. We're a young church. I love Easter, and I've always loved Easter. I want to preach a little message, short message, on hope. And to understand what hope is, I think you have to first understand what hopeless is, what it means to have little or no hope. And I want to invite you to think about a time in your life, maybe go back to when you were younger. Think about the first time you felt like you were in kind of a hopeless situation. And I want to share one with you from my own life. Easter growing up was always a holiday that I looked forward to, but I also regretted. I kind of wished it didn't come. It was one of those holidays my mom, we always went to church, and my mom took pride in a lot of things, but one particular thing she took pride in was matching outfits for me and my siblings. Anybody got this going on? And by matching outfits, I don't mean just like matching color palettes. Same shades of pink or same shades of blue. I mean the exact same outfit. And so, little context, I've got a sister that's a year older. I have a sister that's 2 years younger. And I have a brother who's almost 10 years younger than me. And so, when Easter would roll around, she would just go pick out outfits. She would go to like JCPenney or she'd go to Belk. Whatever store was the most traditional at the time, she went to that store, and she put me in outfits, and she put us in outfits like this. I want to show you a picture of Easter, 1 year. Now, I'm going to ask you to leave it up there for a second. I was in seventh grade. So imagine a 13-year-old having to put this outfit on. And knowing that I was going to load up with my family in a navy blue Chrysler minivan with the wood grain down the side, and we were going to pull up to a Baptist church, and I was going to roll in there and see some of my closest friends. that is hopeless. Because there is nothing you could do about it. If I complained, or it wasn't like, hey, can we exchange the red pants for khaki? It wasn't up for discussion. And to rebel would have, I would have lost spring break. So you just dealt with it. And it was out of my control. It was terrible. It was hopeless. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we read the Easter story, we're on this side of the resurrection. We're on this side of the empty tomb. And it's really easy to forget how hopeless the first Easter was, and how unexpected the first Easter was. None of the disciples of Jesus, none of the followers of Jesus expected him to rise from the dead. It was a shock and it was a surprise to all of them. And what I want to do is read a collection of passages from the Gospel of Mark. Mark was a follower of Jesus. His gospel is actually Peter's story. So Jesus had 12 disciples, three that were really close to him. Of those three, one was Peter. Peter was a leader in the early church after Jesus rose from the dead. Peter was very outspoken. And towards the end of Peter's life, he sat down and recorded his time with Jesus. And he did so by telling those stories to Mark. And so Mark recorded Peter's accounts in the Gospel of Mark. And in Mark chapter 16, he tells us the story of that first Easter morning. This was right after the crucifixion. 3 days have gone by. And I want to pick it up in Mark chapter 16 in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. If not, the verses will be on the screen. But this is how it goes, that when the Sabbath was passed, and I'll just give you some context, Friday was the crucifixion of Jesus. Saturday was the Sabbath. Sunday was the first day of the week, or Easter, that we're going to refer to. So when the Sabbath, Saturday, had passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus, the body of Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. And then entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." I want you to imagine how hopeless and desperate that walk was to the tomb. These three ladies, just to give you some context, this is Mary, mother of James. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. James and Jesus were brothers. So this is Mary who delivered Jesus. This is Mary who raised Jesus. She was one of his most faithful followers and disciples. So we got Mary as a part of this group. We have Mary Magdalene, who was another woman that followed Jesus. Mary Magdalene was a woman that had 7 demons, and Jesus delivered her of demonic possession. She then became a faithful follower of Jesus. And then we have Salome. Salome is another woman who most scholars believe she helped finance the earthly ministry of Jesus. She used her wealth and her riches to help fund the ministry of Jesus. These three ladies, they decide to go to the tomb on this first Easter morning. They have just witnessed, hands down, the most traumatic event they could ever imagine. Their son, their leader, he'd been arrested on Friday. He'd been beaten in the public sphere for the entire town to see. And then he had hung on a cross until he died, and they were there. The Gospels say that while the disciples left the crucifixion in fear, these three women, they witnessed the resurrection all the way down to Jesus' last breath. And so these ladies would have seen Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, came and asked for the body of Jesus. They would have seen Joseph take Jesus' body, wrap him up, and he took Jesus' body to his own tomb. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. He had a tomb cut out in a rock on his estate, and he let Jesus be buried in his tomb. And so they knew where Jesus was, and they went into hiding in fear with the other disciples because Jesus was now dead and he was buried. And they couldn't go anoint his body on Friday. They couldn't anoint his body on Saturday because it was the Sabbath. They had to wait until Sunday. And so they go walking in they're on this hopeless journey this Sunday morning. And Mark tells us that as they're walking, they're having this conversation, who's gonna move the stone? You know, it's like they went with great intentions, but they realized, man, we're gonna encounter an obstacle when we get there. And he says that when they looked up, they realized that the stone had been rolled away. And if I had to have a message, a banner theme of this message today, it would be this. I believe God's calling some of us who are believers and some who are not to look up this Easter weekend, to look up and find the hope that he offers us and that he gives us in the resurrection. I've decided to title this sermon, Looking Out and Looking Up. Looking Out and Looking Up. And I'm gonna need some crowd participation because it's Easter and some of y'all think this is just traditional cultural church and you have to be quiet when I preach. So I'm gonna invite you to participate. Y'all ready? Okay, good. I got three of you. The rest of you are gonna be really uncomfortable. Here's what I want you to do. Touch your neighbor real quick and say, look out and look up. Touch them, say, look out and look up. We're gonna do it again because the risers didn't participate. Say, look out and look up. Now we're good. Now we're good. Hey, I got a two-point sermon for Easter around hope. The first point is this. Man, there's hope. We have hope because God's looking out for you. God's looking out for you. You go, what do I mean by looking out? Here's what I mean. One of the defining marks of the people of Jesus, the community that he established, was that Jesus created a group of people that looked out for each other in a world that didn't. The world that Jesus was born into and that he carried out his earthly ministry in, they could not have cared less for people around them. Now, families took care of each other for the most part, but it was society that was separated by race. It was society that was separated by ethnicity, massive discrimination, massive segregation. It was a society that was very differentiated by gender, rights according to male or female. Society was divided based on your political alliances and affiliations. Society was divided based on socioeconomic class, the haves and the have-nots, based on education, right? And you go, well, man, this sounds really familiar to our world today. What Jesus did was he came, and when he started his ministry, he chose disciples that came from these different backgrounds. And what he did was said, you know what? You're no longer gonna be people that are separated by your backgrounds and separated by your preferences. You're gonna be united as you follow me. And we're gonna march toward the kingdom of God together. And you're gonna serve one another. And you're gonna care for one another. And you're gonna provide for each other's needs. You're gonna pray for one another. And we're in this together. And y'all, that's the mark of the people of God. That's defining characteristics of the church, is a people that look out for each other. Like, here's a question I have for you on Easter. This is a genuine question for those of you that are in church, those of you that are visiting this church, but who do you have that looks out for you? Like, genuinely looks out for you, looks out for your best interest, looks out for God's plan for your life. Says, man, I want you to be everything that God's called you to be. I wanna take care of you. I wanna do this together with you. I believe most people don't have a community of people that are looking out for them. And so what we have this Easter morning is they've seen the crucifixion, they're grieving, they're sad, they're hopeless, but they decide, you know what? We're gonna go look out for Jesus because he looked out for us. And so on this Easter morning, they get up and they go walk into the tomb. And they've got spices, and they've got oils, and they're going to give Jesus a proper burial. They're going to honor his body. They're going to respect his body. Even though they had doubts, listen, he said he's the Messiah, he said he's a king, he said he's a leader, but they watched him die. And so even in their doubt and despair, they decide, you know what, we're still gonna go look out for Jesus, and we're gonna honor him. And it's in this journey of looking out that God does something amazing, because here's the catch. They could have done this on Friday. But God, because of his law and the Sabbath, made him wait. They couldn't do it on Saturday. They had to wait till Sunday. And so this whole thing's a setup because when they go on Sunday, 3 days later, what they witness is the resurrection. Had they not had to wait, they wouldn't have witnessed the empty tomb. So this was a setup for God to intervene as they were looking out for Jesus. And I was thinking about it, y'all. That's what the church is. As we look out for each other, living out the way of Jesus and trying to care for and trying to pray for and trying to love one another, that's when we see God intervene. Like, that's when we see the love of God intervene. That's what makes this family so different. You go, what does looking out really look like? Well, y'all, I can tell you stories on stories on stories in this church. I'll pick some from just the last couple of months. There's the story of a grandma in this church who got put in the ICU and was intubated in the ICU. And when the word got out, I watched small group in this church come around and look out for her and look out for her family and pray and visit the hospital and provide meals and meal trains. And y'all, I can tell you and testify today, I watched her get healed up. She was in our second service this morning on Easter. That's what looking out really looks like. I can tell you the couple where the husband lost his job. And he was wondering, man, how do I provide groceries for my family? Like, this is real time. Like, how do I pay rent? How do I pay my mortgage? I watched a small group look out for this family, step in, provide mortgage, provide groceries, because that's what looking out really looks like. I've seen this church surround people and look out for couples that are struggling or pray for kids that are rebelling. I've seen this couple surround those that are going through substance abuse and addictions. And you go, well, why don't I have that in my life? Y'all, can I just tell you that it's the people of God, the church of God, that's established to be a community that looks out for one another. And when we do, that's when God intersects our path and makes himself known. You know, I think it's important as you think about Easter. You go, I saw a billboard or I got a bracelet. I got an invite. Maybe you saw an ad on Instagram. Coworker invited you. You're here because of family. It's real easy to look at these connections and go, man, this is just incidental. This is a coincidence. I was talking to somebody after our first service this morning. They're like, man, I showed up and I saw my coworker who had invited me, but I didn't come because of them. Saw him in the foyer. I'm like, man, I bet that's awesome. You know? And you go, that's just so weird. And I love when people say that's weird. That's a coincidence. I'm like, no, that's God. That's God looking out for you. Can I just tell you that if you're here today, you're under the sound of my voice, I don't care how you got here, it's God looking out for you. Like God made a way. And you're like, I didn't even realize that. It reminds me of I read a story a couple years ago of a hiker in Colorado. A guy went on a hiking trail by himself and didn't come down. Like they have these trailheads and they count how many people actually go hiking. Well, he didn't come out. And so when he didn't come out after 12 hours, they're like, all right, we got to issue a rescue squad to go find this guy. And so they tell the forester crew and they tell the rescue teams. And so they go searching for him. They start calling him. Can't find him anywhere. Can't land a phone call. And so they're nervous. 24 hours later, this guy comes wandering off the mountain. And they're like, man, How'd you find your way out? He's like, well, I had reception. I was able to use my GPS and find the trailhead and get out. They said, we were trying to call you. Why didn't you answer the phone? He said, well, I didn't recognize the number. Spam. True story. And I thought to myself, this guy was willing to die before answering a spam call. That's my guy right there, you know? I can just imagine he's lost and he's like, ah, gosh, spam. Ah, it's like, we were calling you, man, you know? Here's the deal. And hear me on this, because I believe this. I believe this because I know so many of the stories that are here and have been here. I know my own story. God's calling you. He's got you here for a reason. This message is for you. Easter, I believe Easter is one of those, like, if God could call your phone, it's like, hey, this is what I'm all about. Respond, answer the call. Don't miss it. And one step further, y'all, the gospel, the good news that we preach here, good news we preach, God, Jesus coming is God's way of looking out for us. Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this. Ephesians 2, 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Y'all, Jesus is God's way of looking out for us. John 3:16, you probably know the verse. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, Jesus. And he put his son on a cross to die for our sins. And Jesus was placed in a tomb and raised back to life on the third day so that we may have life. That's God's way of looking out for a people that he loves, including you. Don't miss the reality this Easter that God's looking out for you. He's got you here for a reason. Hope, we have hope because God's looking out for us. The women, they're walking to the tomb and they're wondering, man, how are we gonna move this rock? How are we gonna move this stone? You can have all the good intentions in the world, but most scholars believe that this stone that was rolled in front of the tomb anywhere between 2,500 and 3,000 pounds. It would have been a large wheel made out of granite, probably about a foot thick. And so it would have took multiple men to roll it into place. We know that there were soldiers guarding the tomb and standing in front of the wheel. And so as they're walking, they start talking, man, how in the world are we gonna move this thing? And Mark says that as they're walking, look what the scripture says. As they're walking, they look up and they realize the stone's already been moved. They look up and they realize it's already been moved. In other words, it wasn't until they look up that they realize what they're actually hoping for had happened. And they run into the tomb, and verse 6 tells us this. They see an angel who says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Well, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. And you'll see him there just as he told you before he died." I heard an old preacher one time say the reason women had to go and get these instructions is because men would have messed it up. They go in and they're like, the angel says, "Look in here. Matter of fact, he's already gone to Galilee. So go back and tell the disciples that you need to join him there because the mission's still moving. He's not dead, he's alive." And y'all, that means there's hope because the tomb's empty. And if the tomb's empty, anything's possible. You go, well, what's anything? Look, I made a list, and this list isn't gonna be all inclusive, but I want you to fill in the blank of whatever that might be. Because y'all, if the tomb's empty, your cancer can be healed. If the tomb's empty, your rebellious child can be saved. If the tomb is empty, your spouse's heart can most definitely change. If the tomb is empty, your anxiety can go away for good. If the tomb is empty, you can have a child no matter what the doctors are saying. If the tomb is empty, your chains of addiction can be completely broken off. If the tomb is empty, the generational curses can be snapped. And if the tomb is empty, you can be completely forgiven and restored and redeemed in every way. And church, I gotta tell you, we're here on Easter because the tomb is most definitely empty, which means anything is possible. That's the God that we worship. And so if you've come for just a historical lesson about a man named Jesus, I want you to know Jesus risen from the dead means there is a power greater than anything on this planet. And while we sometimes get caught up in what we can see and what we can't see, we get caught up in the limitations of what's around us, I gotta remind you that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And one of the greatest things that we can do is remind ourselves as the people of God to look up, because that's where our hope comes from. We march through this life and we get weighed down. We end up looking down in desperation, looking down because we have no hope, looking down in fear and anxiety and worry, and our heads are hung. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 121, "Hey, I lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from." It's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, you will have heartache, you will have pain. But when you do, he said, stand up and look up, for your day of salvation is near. We gotta be people that remind ourselves to lift our heads and look up and be reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus. Acts chapter 1, Jesus' earthly ministry ends this way. Like, these women go back and they tell the disciples, by the way, could you just imagine that scene? Like, we find that all the followers, the disciples of Jesus, they're locked in a house, scared to death, because they've seen their leader murdered, and they're thinking, we might be next. And so they're locked in this house, and I just imagine that these three ladies go running back, and they beat on the door. You know, and Peter's like, and they say, hey, he's alive. The tomb is empty. He's not in there. Wait, what do you mean he's not in there? No, I'm still, we saw it. Like, we went in and we saw it for ourselves. The gospel tells us that Peter and John sprint to the tomb. And when they get there, they look inside and they realize, okay, he's alive. He's not in here anymore. And they go back and they share that, and their faith starts to build. Why? They're going, look, we have hope. We have hope because if Jesus rose from the dead, then everything else he said is true too. And over the next 6 weeks, Jesus would hang out with his disciples. He'd eat with them. He would talk with them. He would teach them. Over 500 eyewitnesses saw Jesus. And in Acts chapter 1, what we find is he's on the Mount of Olives, and he looks at his disciples and he says, boys, I'm about to go back to heaven. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and know that I'm going to be with you. And then Jesus went back into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, we find the disciples are looking intently into the sky, because Jesus told them, the same way that I leave will be the same way that I come back. That's hope. Church, I got to remind you, for those of you that are in Christ Jesus, there is a day where he's coming back to take his own. And that's the assurance that we have, that there's a life beyond this life. We might get 100 years, we might get 120 years, but everybody has to spend eternity somewhere. And the hope that we have in the resurrection is that we have resurrection life. We have eternal life with Christ Jesus, if we have put our trust in him. I was talking to my cousin this past week, his name's Jordan, and he shared with me some terrible news. His best friend lives in Florida, was in a car accident, lost his life. And I was calling Jordan, going, man, what can I do? Like, how can I pray for you? Is there anything that you need? And what Jordan said to me on the phone after a pretty short conversation, he says, Brandon, here's the hope I have. He didn't know what I was preaching on. Here's the hope I have. Reed's in heaven with his dad, and one day I'm gonna see him again. Boy, that's a confidence and an assurance you can have as a follower of Jesus, that one day you will spend eternity where he is. And if you're here today and you don't have that assurance, you don't have the hope of eternal life, a living hope that's found in the person and in the work of Jesus, I'm urging you today, do not let Easter pass you by without letting today be the day of salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, that grace be to God, our Father, who because of the resurrection of Jesus has called us to a living hope. Not a dead hope, not a has-been hope, but a living hope. If you're here today and you've not put your trust and your faith in Jesus, let me encourage you today. Look up, because God's looking out for you, and today can be the day that you're saved. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the truth and the power of your word. I thank you for your spirit that right now it's moving in hearts and lives. And Lord, for the one who's listening to me right now and they've never made a decision to trust you, they've never made a decision to follow Jesus, God, let today be the day they resolve to make a decision that changes their life forever. I pray they would trust you, that they would accept your forgiveness, accept your love, and accept the hope that comes from knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray, amen. Hey church, we're gonna stand and worship in just a few moments, but I'm gonna ask you, as the worship team begins to play this song, I really want you to reflect on the words of it. Think about what it means for you. And if you're here and you're going, man, I got questions and I don't know what it means to actually be a Christian. I don't know what it means to follow Jesus. Listen to this song and trust God's speaking to you, and he's looking out for you, and he's calling you to himself today. So pay attention to what this song says before you join and sing it.